There's a thousand murdered women living out there. They're all living for the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. I'm John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com. I write for Las Vegas Weekly, lasvegasweekly.com, and all the titles in Greenspun Media Group. I write for the Vegas Magazine and Niche Media, and I also write for The Sunday, our weekly news magazine that comes out on The Sunday, except when it comes out on...
The Saturday.
Trish McCrone, my beautiful co-host, is with us once more. Trish, what's going on?
Katzie, I cannot believe how much from week to week your hair grows. Let's just start with the important thing, all about the vanity. I cannot believe. I know there's a lot going on in the world. I mean, a lot of horrible things, but I am amazed at how good your hair comes back.
You know, I've become the random hat buyer now. I've got all these hats, including I've been wearing the one you got me, by the way.
The very first year when I shaved your head. Yes, that was your birthday gift.
Well, it was the first year.
It was 2 years ago, but your first out of three
whenever that was.
Shavings. And by the way, I can't say enough how much I enjoyed Sammy last week.
Oh, yeah. Sammy Sala. Yeah, our guest from last week. Yeah, wasn't he great?
Fantastic. And the story, and I had so many people, I put the little clip up on social media of him, of you doing the intro over him playing the
video clip you did?
The turtle. Yeah.
the upside down hubcap.
The turtle. Some people are like, wow, that's so cool. Like, I've talked to some of my friends that just saw it online. They're like, that was so cool.
Yeah, that really was cool. Yeah. It was a great interview, and he's a great guy, and it's an incredible family, and it's an example of the kind of cultural international flavor that Cirque du Soleil brings to this city. Yeah. He's a Cirque person, first of all.
I mean, not that everything that we do is not incredibly important that we talk about and do on Cats with a Dish. I mean, we are making social change weekly, but I am just...
talking about
hair is really what's important in the world. But I mean, there are a few times, I must admit, there are very few where I am just so incredibly moved. And I feel like hopefully that we're giving awareness and we're helping people and, and giving a voice to situations that may not have a voice. So, and that all came from your article. So basically,
it comes down
from you. So it was one of those shows I was really proud of.
Yeah, it was a great thing. You know, this has spun around and it's almost like it's developed into a pyramid scheme, this story. You know, we met, I met Sammy at the composer's showcase, and he was playing that instrument that he had in here, which is an upside down steel drum, for lack of a better
turtle
that has notes around it that you can play. It's a percussion instrument. It's also a melodic instrument. And
that he decided to pick up.
He was injured as an acrobat. I mean, this guy's ridiculous. He's a ridiculously gifted guy. Yeah. I mean, he plays guitar at the level that's high enough to be in a Cirque orchestra. He plays that instrument. He still does some acrobatic work in the show. And his family's fighting a very challenging set of medical circumstances with their son, Ilan, who is, stricken by what is still to be determined, but it has affected his immune system. He has a series of immune system disorders that are very, very tough to deal with. And he's being sustained through monthly treatments that allow him to act like a normal kid. And at some point, those treatments are going to have to stop. And we're going to see what happens then in a couple of years. But great family, great friends now. I made friends in this whole situation. You can buy the CD Awaken. I want to tell people. Like
and you
that.
Can buy it at, it's the, at Tivoli...
Kidville. At Tivoli Village.
Yes.
Is on sale out there if you go out there. And it's also at sammysaula.com, SammySaula.
And getting back to that whole thing, like, just because I didn't feel good a couple days this week, that when I have an injury or something that kind of keeps me, not being able to do my normal routine, I watch binge TV on Netflix. He picks up an entirely different career. Seriously, just think about that. Like, the inferiority that I feel over a guy who's like, my career is over. What don't I do? I go and I pick up 25 new instruments, and I know I am a gifted person at it. I'm like, gee, House of Cards new season. Fantastic.
Well, it's always like what John Lennon said. I'm an artist. What he said about himself is, I'm an artist, and if you hand me a tuba, I will get something out of it. That's what we do. That's what they do.
And I'm a TV viewer. And they, if you give me they the make time, music, I will watch it.
You know? Oh, you have a different sort of artistry, Dishirito.
And we had I did see my sister had a bunch of her friends in town for a big birthday celebration.
Which was Saturday.
Saturday, yes. And I had a bit of a hiccup that I can't believe I'm going to share publicly. But I having lupus, I have lupus meds, you know, that I have to take. Mm-hmm. And they kind of help me, you know, spunk, you know, a little bit like a line. You need something that has a lot of B12 and things like that that kind of gets you going. Well, earlier in the week, a friend of mine that was in town had, I was like, oh, I have to sleep, but I have so much on my mind. She goes, well, here, we'll take this sleeping pill. And I'm like, okay, just put it in my pill case. Like, I never need a sleeping pill. It's not my problem. It's just the opposite of my problem. Well, I went with Wayne Newton to do a thing for Mayor Carolyn Goodman, a little fundraiser thing. I came home and I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot to take my B12 thing. And so I go in and I pop the pill and blah, blah, blah. I took the sleeping pill.
You took the sleeping pill?
Because I just looked at the outside of the pill container.
Oh my God.
So watch your medicine, people, is something to say. Let's just say the party was not as much fun for me as it was for everybody else.
And you roofied yourself.
I roofied myself. And then the next day, I think because I had taken something different, I got kind of wacky. And then I got vertigo the next day. And then I was really sick with the vertigo. And then I had to take medicine for that. So I feel like this all was like a tumbling thing. So the moral of the story is, even though it's in a pill container, you might want to look and see, make sure you're taking the right thing.
Be responsible with your meds, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, exactly. And me just saying, oh, just put it in. I never need anything to sleep. I mean, I have a hard time staying awake. That's my problem. And then I just helped it out. So, yeah. So, I heard she had a great party.
Kat was, she had her birthday Saturday. I was late getting in touch with her, too. It felt bad. She was the first person to get to me on mine. And I was the last to tell her happy birthday.
But I kind of, the next day, I was like, oh, here's your presents. Or 2 days later, I was like, oh, gee, I didn't see any of those get open.
She is a beauty, man. Yeah, I remember meeting her and Wayne all those years ago at the Stardust.
Yes, and Wayne, as you said, is a terrible driver.
As is noted, is a terrible driver. Although that was not when I met him. We met before that, after the driving thing happened. A story for all time. That's still one of the craziest experiences of my life, driving around in 1999 with Wayne Newton in his Rolls, right?
On the Millennium, literally, New Year's Eve.
I'll never forget it. I can live to be 125 years old and never forget that night.
And it still, to me, is my favorite article that's ever done. Although I have to say, Billboard, the one with Britney Spears on it that's in right now, has incredible pictures of Brandon Flowers. It's all about Vegas. And so it's about Britney in Vegas, and it has a bunch of different, David Guetta, am I saying that correct?
Yeah.
The DJ and music producer and all that. And there's, it's all about Vegas, and they say it's Native Sons is the name of it, and it's a whole photo shoot that they did at Casa de Shenandoah a few weeks back with Brandon Flowers and from The Killers, lead singer from The Killers, and Wayne Newton, both in tuxes.
They're all tuxed up,
The pictures are beautiful. I saw them online, but when I actually got the copies of the Billboard, they're gorgeous. It's such a great, if you get a chance, go and look at it.
Billboard magazine.
Yeah, Billboard magazine.
All right. Well, yeah, I've seen one of those, at least one of those photos of Brandon Flowers and Wayne, and how cool is that?
It's
that
very
is
cool.
So cool.
And it was cool
Nobody
to see them
pulls
interview.
Off the tux like Wayne, I've got to say, man.
And Brandon Flowers is like, I love it. Like, he's like, I'm digging this tux. Like, he was very much into it.
Yeah, that video, remember the video shoot that they did with Wayne?
And yeah, you
Wayne,
were there,
The Killers and Andre Agassi and Jubilee. Everybody from Las Vegas.
Carrot Top.
Dirk Arthur's Tigers.
They were playing a ping pong. What do you call it? Andre Agassi was playing ping pong.
With David Koenig, the guitarist. Oh, what a time, Dish.
We've had quite a history here.
That's the truth.
And it's not over yet. Nobody's
We're just getting started.
Although if I keep mistaking pills, my days may be done.
Stop roofing yourself already. What happens then?
Oh my God.
It prevents me from trying to do it. Okay. Up next, our guest this week is a favorite of Las Vegas for good reason. He is the man who brought absinthe to Las Vegas. This show celebrates its fourth anniversary at Roman Plaza at Caesar's Palace on April Fool's Day, appropriately enough, which is just before Wayne's birthday, right?
April 3rd, yeah.
Everything comes together. His name is Ross Mollison. He is the impresario, and he's going to be calling us from Australia, but stick around. I know we will.
Hi, this is Sunset Thomas, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yes! Yeah!
Welcome back. Joining me now from Australia, which is a country that's near Indonesia, from what I understand, is the man who founded Spiegelworld, the production company that is responsible for one of the great production shows ever in this city. It's called Absinthe. It's Caesar's Palace. It is being celebrated and is celebrating its fourth anniversary, its fourth birthday here in Las Vegas on April Fool's Day. Here to talk about the show, or not here, in Australia to talk about the show, is the impresario himself, Ross Mollison. Ross, how are you doing?
Hey, John, how you going, dude?
So explain to our listeners where you are and what you're doing right now.
I'm in Melbourne, where we're launching Absinthe Tour Le Monde.
Yes.
With the gazillionaire. And he's actually driving the golf cart at the moment.
You guys are golfing together at Crown Resorts Golf Course.
Because I should be driving. And we're on the Crown Casino Golf Course out having a whack, which is great. A beautiful sunny day here in Melbourne.
Right on. As we talk, what time and day is it over there? It's like June or something. Isn't that how big the time difference is? It's May or June over there?
Yeah. It's half past midnight in the middle of June. No, it's about 11 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And it's a day ahead of you. So it's the opening night tonight, so we thought we'd go out and have a whack, and the casino invited us to go on their golf course. We're only two blokes playing. It's modeled after Shadow Creek, I think.
Oh my gosh.
By Lloyd Williams, who was a great friend of Steve Wynn's.
So oh, okay, yeah.
He got one down in Melbourne because he wanted one.
Exactly, yeah. Now, Ross, you've launched the show, as you've mentioned. It's been touring Australia, right, for a few weeks.
Well, we did the out-of-town tryout, so we went to a place called Newcastle.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's like going to Reno or something before you do Vegas. And we played there for a month and really fine-tuned the show and got it all looking fabulous. And it's really, really looking amazing now.
And what is the difference, if any, between that show in Australia and what we see at Caesar's Palace?
Well, I mean, it's the gazillionaire and Penny Pivots who are touring with it in Australia.
Yes.
But, you know, there's a few new acts we've put in. And we put this horizontal bar act, Los Dos Tacos, and from Mexico. These two guys do this parallel bar act. Right over the heads of the audience. It's nuts,
wow.
Man. It's nuts.
Wow.
And we've never done any... No one's ever done this in a Spiegel tent. You know, it was like when we did the High Wire.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we did the High Wire in Vegas 2011. Nobody had ever done that. So
right.
We really had a great crack at it, and it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
You have in the show in Las Vegas, if I have this right, about 9... individuals involved in the shows currently at Roman Plaza that were involved in the start of the show. Is that right? Is that the right number for the
that sounds about right. Yeah, it's been a very low turnover there.
Yeah, and how do you in the face of launching a new show that is under the same title, make sure that Absinthe in Las Vegas doesn't become a little stale? How do you keep the quality control in order for that show?
Well, you know, it's how we approach Vegas. You know, we approach it like it's a Super Bowl winning sports team. You know, and the easiest thing is getting in. You know,
mm-hmm.
And you've got to stay in. You know, we focus on the show and changing it up all the time.
We've got the character Joy, who has replaced Penny Pivots, and Gazillionaire is still in the version of the show in Las Vegas. Let me ask you a little bit about Penny specifically, because she was such an appealing character, appealing performer, very, very well-received in the role in Absinthe, and now she's in Absinthe in Australia. She's gone off and done her own show here. In Las Vegas, of course.
Yeah.
Now, how does your company handle that reality when someone in the cast like her or whoever goes off and starts doing another show like that? Are you still invested in her in any way outside the scope of the Absinthe title?
Absolutely. And we invested in that show and we support her. You know, the thing for us as a company is, you know, I was hearing the guy that runs HBO talk about it the other day, and he said, I just want this to be a wonderful environment for artists to come and create. And that's what I want for Spiegelworld. I want people to come along and create with us, and certainly what the guys want. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants people to come and say, well, if I could do a new show, I'd really want to do it with Spiegelworld because those guys get it. And you can't stick a talent like Penny Pivot. Mm-hmm. I mean, although Gaz is now, he's just having a quick vomit because he thinks she's without talent.
Just having a quick vomit as you make the turn.
That in a show and say, good luck, we'll see you in 10 years. You know, she needs to flex that muscle, get out there, do some comedy. And I thought that show she did was just nuts. I was so proud of her, and I was glad we invested. I think the Gaz made even more money out of that. So
wow, that's good because he canned her, right?
$23. He made
$23. That's enough for a box of teas and a couple balls, right? Gaz originally let her go from the Absinthe show originally. And then,
yeah, it's embarrassing. I mean, it was very hard for her.
Yeah.
You know, he fired her, and then, so she goes off and creates her own show. And then he realizes, of course, that, maybe she's more talented than him, but he's out of earshot now. He's actually trying to hit a ball. He hasn't been to bed all night. He's
what?
Been at the local club here at the Crown Casino,
oh,
drinking all night.
Oh God!
And he's pretty much. You'll hear the drive in a minute. It's going to be a
so in other
shocker
words,
again.
In other words, he's in ideal Gaz condition to be out on a golf course.
Straight in the lake. Again.
What about Gaz's YouTube series
that he's been doing? I'm going to have to put him on for a minute, John. Hang on. Put him on.
Hello.
Hey, Gaz. John Katzlamitis in Las Vegas.
You're ruining my entire game here.
Oh, I'm your problem?
I'm 17 over on the third hole.
Are you going to be doing your gazillionaire YouTube project again? That is finished.
Oh, yeah. Well, are you waiting for it? I think 1,200 people watched it, so we should probably do another one. That's a lot of YouTube hits, right?
I don't know what your expectations were. I know I enjoyed watching it. I don't know what a lot is for a series like this. I don't know what you were after exactly, but I think it was well executed. It was fun. It was funny. It was a good depiction of who you are. I think it was accurate.
You're getting coins right here, so we'll do it again just for you.
All right. I'll be one of the 1,200. How are the audiences receiving the show in Australia?
You know, it's not Vegas, but we're making do.
How is it different?
The girls wear really short shorts here. Do you know about that? It's some new Australian thing. Just these little cut-off shorts. They're amazing. And they just wear them right to the show.
Wow.
And we're in a casino. It seems like it should be classy, but,
No.
Super.
No. They allow that at the
yeah,
Crown.
Exactly.
They allow that. It's a rooftop at the Crown, right? Is that where this venue is? It's on the roof of the place? Is that right?
On the roof, yeah. We went from, outside a casino to the roof. We're moving up, I guess, literally.
What's your relationship with Penny right now? Because I know that there was some back and forth when when she left the show in Las Vegas and went off to her own show.
Yeah.
It was presented that you'd let her go. How are you guys dealing with each other now?
Well, she's just they really wanted Australian audiences. We figure we'll throw her over here on an island, 20,000 miles away from everyone. It'll be fine. She'll stay. Hopefully, she'll just stay here for a while.
How's the show selling?
Huge, I think. I hope so.
And you're still the MC of it?
Yeah. All right, I got to hit the ball.
Go get him.
Russell Crowe is here. I think he wasn't available, so there's no other Australian stars to do it. So I figured I'll just be the one.
I'll
just do it.
It's not Russell Crowe. You might as well do it.
Come on out. Yeah.
Put Ross back on if he's around.
All right, here he is.
Hey, John. Sorry about that.
He's drunk.
He's definitely.
Hey, I want to ask you about something. We just had Cirque du Soleil's One Night for One Drop came through town recently, a week ago on Friday, and they've just refreshed Zumanity over there at the New York. And I was talking to Danielle Lamar, and we were talking about how shows, chiefly your show, really, has cut into the edginess of Zumanity and really stripped it of kind of its word-of-mouth appeal and some of the, edge that it had when it opened in Las Vegas a dozen years ago. How do you respond to that? When you have Cirque du Soleil, which is a massive operation here in Las Vegas, responding to what you've put on stage in such a way, it was pretty apparent to me that he was talking about Absinthe, that it had really kind of taken the mojo out of what Zumanity was supposed to be and forced Cirque to go back and update the show. How do you feel about that? That's kind of a flattering turn of events when you consider this show wasn't even expected to last after 6 months.
Well, I just think it's
It's extraordinary, and I, you know, Danielle's very kind. I learn at the feet of Cirque du Soleil, and I grew up watching them and loving them. And I remember coming to the opening week of, I didn't come the opening night, I came to the opening week of Zumanity, just seeing it was amazing and gorgeous theater and everything about it was stunning. And, you know, it's certainly no better than anybody, and they're constantly refreshing all their shows, that, you know, you got to keep working these things, and they do a great job at that. So, I'm really excited. I can't wait. A guy I've long had on my list of artists I want to work with, I saw him years ago when he ran the gold medal in Paris, is Dimmer Balkan, and he's just nuts. He's so great. He's a great guy as well. And there's so many great artists in that show, and have been, you know, artists we've worked with as well, Joey Aria and a few others. So, I wish them well. I know they will sustain and survive and thrive, and I think Zumanity will, and it'll keep being the great show that it is. And, you know, it's like Broadway, right? There's a lot of different musicals in Broadway. Mm-hmm. In Vegas, there's a lot of different circuses, you know?
Yeah, there are.
I can have a hit show, and so can they.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually competing with them. The Gaz is not competing with them. I mean, he would say, put it differently, but, you know, we're competing against ourselves. It's right. up to us to make our show as good as we can. And, onwards and upwards for all players. I say the more quality, great shows there are in Vegas, the better it is for all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
The more Vegas becomes a destination for interesting entertainment.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. You know, and what Cirque has done so effectively, obviously, over the years is expand that Cirque mentality and sensibility to a number of shows. And you brought in a show that was fantastic artistically, Vegas Nocturne, that did close last summer over at the Cosmopolitan. Where is that title specifically now, Ross?
The guy just nearly rolled the golf cart. Sorry, he's not really great at the steering
wheel. We need to give that guy a sobriety test and a roadmap.
Literally, he nearly rolled the golf cart.
Vegas Nocturne. Where are we with that effort? It was an example of you expanding the Spiegel World hold on Las Vegas, and artistically successful, financially not so much. Where are we with Vegas Nocturne?
We're working it like crazy, man. Like we're actually in pre-production for the show, working out where we're going to do it and how we're going to do it next. We did a couple of great performances in New York in a Redux version last year, and you know the artists in that show are just nuts. A couple of them are in other shows for us at the moment. We've got Angie Sylvie in Australia, the incredible burlesque artist who did the fire routine in the midnight. Show the nightclub show, and of course we've got Sean and John who are just extraordinary, who are in Absinthe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know we
tap dancers.
So that show will be back. We're working out where we'll do it, but really we're looking at the world. You know, we now have more partners. We've got promoters in Australia. We've got friends at the Sydney Opera House. We've got friends at the Edinburgh Festival and the Edinburgh Fringe. We've got promoters in Japan, and we did Absinthe with last year. Empire with last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're working with Eventco in Canada, and we're about to launch Empire up there in Montreal. So, you know, it's not everything has to go to Vegas.
Right.
And there is no doubt in my mind that Vegas Nocturne and the whole environment we created is the way of the future for entertainment in Vegas.
Right.
And we want to be in that. We want to be in that genre. So
do you think
we'll be back?
Can you foresee, Ross? No, this will be my last question as we wrap it up. Do you foresee Spiegel World delving into downtown Las Vegas, Fremont East, and that area at all? I've heard some chatter about possibly some sort of a investigation by you in that area. What is there any truth to that?
We have a very open mind with regard to all those areas, and we have very robust and ongoing conversations with the people who are of influence down there. And, you know, there's no secret, Tony comes to all our shows, and, mm-hmm. you know, I love it.
Yes.
We have a quarterly retreat where we go away and talk about all that stuff. We did our last one down there, and we ended up around the campfire in the container park and, you know, having some frenette with Mr. Shea. It's just a wonderful environment, and my hat's off to them all. I want to do something that sells tickets. I want a commercial outcome. And, you know, if we can work out a way to get one, we'd be there, like, you know, right up a drain pipe.
Well, you've got...
we're not opening there next week, I can tell you that. We don't have plans at the moment.
Right.
And but that's not to say we wouldn't do something down there. And we like doing little things, you know? We like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You like playing with little ideas, and you never know what comes out of a little idea.
Exactly. Well, little ideas, what led to Absinthe in Las Vegas, it led to a lot of great art in our city, is started from almost from the streets. So we are looking forward, Ross.
Well, it's an exciting environment. You know, I hear that Genting about to break ground. I mean, you know,
yes.
There's a lot of stuff happening there, and it's just, you know, people ask me how did Absinthe succeed. I think it's just we opened in 2011 when nobody was doing anything.
Yeah,
you know, you had to be crazy to invest in Vegas in 2011. That cannot be said of Vegas right now. You've got MGM doing stuff. You've got, you know, Caesars have renovated Caesars Palace and done the Lint project, and you know, and obviously Steve Wynn's regenerating his property constantly and opening new shows and stuff. And then you've got these new properties coming in, and SLS. I stayed at SLS last time I was in town, and the Philip Stark room was really cool. It's really interesting.
Well,
I just think it's going to be an interesting time. You know, these guys have come in and bought Cosmopolitan. I mean, I can't believe they've come in and bought one casino. I'm sure they're going to do something else.
Yeah, there's a lot happening right in that area. You're right. And Genting will be breaking ground on May 5th for...
Yeah, well, and they're a well-resourced company. You know, they've got enormous business in Singapore and the Philippines and stuff. So it's really looking positive for Vegas, I think, and the audiences and my friends who go, they've just got so many more reasons to go now, and people are really loving it.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to April 1st, the fourth anniversary of Absinthe, one of the great shows we have here. It's certainly among the top five production shows, in my view, that we have of all of them here in Las Vegas, and that is a very competitive atmosphere. And I've been to it a lot. I'll be to it a lot again, and we're gonna see you at the show and at the after party on April 1st.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. If something doesn't go wrong in this golf cart with the gas here.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, well, keep your eyes on the road and your balls in the fairway. How's that sound?
Fantastic. Nice to speak. There he goes again. He's using the old foot wedge, John. Using the old foot wedge, kicking it along, trying to get it to the hole when he thought I wasn't watching. Anyway,
yeah, foot wedge.
What can you do?
You can only keep paying him. All right, sir. Well, we'll see you next week, all right?
Thank you.
Thanks, brother.